Blog Talk Radio.
Went by so fast.
I know, right? Seems like just a couple months ago we were celebrating this.
Yeah.
Guys, here it comes.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Man, that full service went by so fast.
It really did.
I guess I'll see you guys in a few months.
Starting the year off right. That's a job for Jiffy.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Petito.
I'm not an addict, I'm just an addict. And in time, this too shall pass. I'm not an addict, I'm just an addict. Jerry Petito taught the class. I'm not an addict, I'm just an addict. Love's the answer, the greener grass. I'm not an addict, I'm just an addict. One day at a time, free at last.
When you don't know just what to do.
Just what to do, just what to do.
If what you're feeling is really true.
Is really true. Really true.
Just keep your ideas safe and sound.
Safe and sound, safe and sound.
That's exactly how change is found.
Change is found, change is found. I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass.
And in time, this too shall pass.
I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass.
Jerry Petito taught the class.
I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass.
Love's the answer, the greener grass.
I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass.
One day at a time, free at last.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Jerry Petito Show. This is a product of WBNN, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. We are on air now from Lagos, Nigeria, guys. Dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. So, guys, you know I always bring it, right? Well, I am bringing it again, baby. That's right. My guest tonight, well, wait, I'm going to back up a minute. I want to say something about my book. There's a reason why. So I am the author of I'm Not an Addict, I'm Just an Ass. I'd rather be a smart ass than a dumbass, right? You know, thinking back to when I was a teenager, 16, 17, this guy that I'm interviewing's parents trusted him with me. Imagine that. Listen. I want to introduce a childhood friend. His sister and I are still close friends. You know, she's one of my BFFs forever. I moved to New Jersey in seventh grade, and we met. And he was her younger brother by 2.5 years or so. Everyone, welcome to WBNN, the Jerry Petito Show, John Astrap. John, say hello to everyone. John, unmute yourself.
All right. He's still in mute. Is he there?
John, he's here. He's messaging me. Everything okay,
okay.
John?
There it is.
He's messaging me. So.
All righty. We'll
I'm
keep
sure
on going.
You
know,
I don't know what's happening here.
I'll see you here because, you know, always electronic technicians always come and the devil's always in the woodwork. But I said to you, I'm so proud tonight of having this young man on, and, you know, he's going to do an outstanding job, you know, with this outstanding conversation. Now, I'm hoping that he's not calling from another number because I don't see the number
here.
No. So,
He's going to redial. He said that he's having a problem, Brother O. He's going to redial.
All right. All right, when I see him, I'll let him come on the show. You go ahead and keep on going.
Well, wait, stay on with me for 1 minute. Are you there, Brother O?
You know I'm always here.
Okay. So, you know, I want to say something to you because first of all, I want to thank you for everything that you're doing for us here on WBNN. And for everyone that was not on our show for the championships, I just want to give a shout-out again to Brother O because he got his Lifetime Achievement Award. Okay? I had to say that again. I'm just so excited for you. I just had to. Okay. So he redialed. He's messaging me. Do you see him yet?
No, I do not. What number is he calling from?
Okay. So let's see. Okay. He said his phone keeps dropping the signal. He's calling in on 609-575-3872. How about if I call him and get him on my line?
Nope, because he's on right now.
Okay, yeah.
Hello.
Yay! That was part of your act, wasn't it? That was part that's part of your two-minute movie here, right?
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. I don't know, my phone, hey, sorry, everybody. My phone, like, the call, and so, anyway, hey, I'm here.
I like
to be fashionably late, even on radio.
So listen, you're going to have to make a five-minute movie now of the Jerry Pitito Show on WBNN with that thing, kid. All right?
All right.
So, John.
Yes.
I'm letting everyone know, you know, that we were childhood friends. Me and your sister were still very close friends. You were a few years younger than us. And I want to tell everyone something kind of funny before we start this interview.
Okay.
Everyone listening, you know what this, I call him a kid, but he's not a kid. He's 59 years old. He's a grown man. This kid's fondest memory of me was he was 14 and his parents trusted him to go to a rock concert with me and his sister. We were 17. And what he remembers the most, it was Peter Frampton, Leonard Skinner, and a few other bands. It was a big concert. He remembers most that I was smoking too much pot, okay? How about that?
Yeah,
we were
horrified. Yeah, I didn't want to inhale and get high by accident, and I was terrified. I didn't know what was happening. So yeah, I'm traumatized by that whole thing.
And that's probably why you do these 5 minute stupid films, right?
to try to forget all that happened on that day. It was.
So, John, I'm going to ask you a few questions, but the mic is yours. You know, you've got a good solid 20 minutes here, 25 minutes to really talk about what you're doing because I think what you're doing is really cool. So you make silly five-minute movies, so to speak, with you and your wife, correct?
Right. Yeah, I've only worked with three actresses, my wife and my two nieces, Stephanie and Olivia, who are 9 and 7 or 10 and 8, something like that. So I've really only worked with three other actors, and they're all excellent. And my wife is the, she's the straight man. If you watch her, she's like the best straight man in the business. I'm the buffoon, and she's the straight man. It's a pretty classic comedy formula. And you know, her deadpan expressions are, I mean, I'll put them up against anybody. I mean, they're classic, right?
Real quick, I want to say this, and then you finish, because I have to interrupt about her facial expressions. Everyone listening, he'll tell you where to go look for them and all, but don't just listen, because they won't really do what they're supposed to do. You have to see them. You have to see her expressions with this goofball. That's what makes it so incredible. All right, continue talking, John.
Well, she's had a lot of practice, you know, rolling her eyes and at all the stupid things I say. So, you know, she's had 35 years of practice. So, it's not like she's a newbie. Yeah, I mean, you very generously call them movies. I mean, they're mostly just skits. They don't have, they don't generally have a story to them. They're just kind of like, sitcoms more or less. And so, I don't know. I just, I during COVID, I bought a action cam and I bought another camera, and I was going around taking videos and pictures, and I just, if something doesn't have a story to it or people in it, I just can't, it's really not of much interest to me. And then one day I just said, we were going to Brigantine, New Jersey, to the shore. It was March of, I guess, 2021, And I just came up with this idea that we were going to make a movie. And it was the first movie that we did. And we just, I didn't write a script. We just kind of like winged it the whole, and it was, it came out pretty good, actually. I was kind of surprised at how it came out. And then, but it was more of a, that one was more of the Brigantine. Our first one was more of a drama, more or less, kind of dumb, but a drama. But then after that, pretty much everything I've made since then was a comedy. And then in the spring, I made one that was kind of a little more serious, and everybody hated it. So I went back to comedy. I went back to comedy so far 100%. But no, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's just something to do. I have to, and you know, I have a bunch of stories in my head, and you know, the writing. I like the writing part of it. I like the editing part. The filming and all that is kind of. It's really like, it's actually hard work. So, you know, when Sue and I make a movie, we do, you know, I write the script, and then we go through it, and I set up the lighting and the sound and the camera and everything. And it's really, you know, believe it or not, for a 5-minute movie, there's probably, I don't know, at least 20 hours of work to make a dumb little 5-minute movie. Wow. You know, it takes me a couple hours to write the script, and then the shooting is, I would say it's probably about, you know, at least an hour per minute, whatever movie you're making, something like that. And then there's the editing takes me, I don't know, for a 5-minute movie probably would take me about 20 hours. I know it's kind of hard to believe, but there's really a lot that goes into it. It's really a lot of work, but it's fun. And like I said, the acting, you know, we're not great actors, but we're pretty good, and so it's fun. But I'm telling you, not that I feel sorry for these Hollywood actors, but it's really, unless you do it, it's really like hard work. And then if you have to do a scene over again, if you screw up a scene, if you know the camera wasn't rolling or the sound was bad, to force yourself to do the same scene over again is really, I don't know, it's really hard. But, no, I don't know, people seem to enjoy it, but it's kind of hard because most of the people that watch these movies are my friends and family, and I haven't gotten a lot of, you know, objective opinions. So everybody says, oh, well, you know, it's funny, but whether they really are or not, I'm not sure.
Okay, so I will give you an objective opinion.
Well, you know me, so
okay.
That's not really.
No,
you,
but
I'm the kid.
No,
I'm the kid you grew up with.
No, listen to me. I'm also in radio, right? So I have to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't be doing this interview. I asked you, let me interview you.
Yeah,
okay, so
I thought it was a bad idea on your part, but.
Well, listen, I'm getting you back. I'm getting you back for everything. But I want to share with them what made me really flip and crack up and love what you're doing. It was the Italian one.
Mm-hmm.
That just was so funny, you acting and pretending like you now think you're Italian. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, I always laugh at these commercials for like Ancestry.com where, you know, the person gets a test back and all of a sudden, you know, they might be 60 years old and all of a sudden they're, you know, they're part, whatever, Swedish. And then, they, you know, they start wearing like, you know, Fair Isle sweaters and eating herring. I'm like, well, you know, I just find that to be just completely ridiculous. And so I actually had a 23andMe test, and it came back, and it said I was 2% Italian / Southern European. So what happens in the movie is actually, you know, that test was kind of the test in the movie was based on my actual genetic test. And, I just thought, like, if a guy got carried away, that he was just a small percentage of something. So he's like a white toast, you know, kind of a white, you know, listens to NPR and, you know, drives around in a Subaru. And then he just slowly starts to get into all the tropes, all the stereotypes of being Italian, you know, the spaghetti and the, and the Italian flag and the horn and the maloika and all that stuff. And he just keeps getting more and more carried away until he goes overboard. So I think that actually was – that really actually has kind of a story arc more than most of the short movies that I make. So, that was – and that took us like – it took us probably over a month. You know, not filming every day naturally, but a month of weekends and filming at night. I'm pretty proud of that one. And I think it was my best acting performance when Rupert really is watching The Sopranos and loses his –
Oh my
mind.
Goodness!
I practice.
Oh my
so
goodness!
For your listeners, I practice so he kind of starts spewing Italian curse words, and like Jerry, I'm not Italian, so I like, you know, I went online and you know listened to all these, you can go on, you know, ask Google how do you say, you know, whatever in Italian. So I really when I was driving around, I practiced all that stuff, and I thought it came out pretty good.
So, okay, you just blew my mind because I honestly thought that you guys just do this and post them. 5 minutes and you post them. I didn't realize all this went into these.
Well, like if you look, some of them we have. There were a couple that we did. We just kind of like shot it and put it up. But when you, like especially inside, when you look at the light inside your house, there's never enough light to make it look good on camera. I mean, you really have to, you know, I learned a lot about lighting. There's something called 3-point lighting where you got to have light on one side and a little shadow on the other side and a hair light. But the thing is mostly is the sound. So the sound everywhere except outside is just, you know, let's say you're outside in the country, the sound is good, but everywhere else that you go to, the sound is horrible. So you have to record on either lavalier mics that have to be hidden or a boom mic or something, because you're going to get noise, you're going to get interference, you're going to get echo, reverb. So yeah, it's really, so then, you know, it's just a lot. You just, the setup is a lot. I think I did a pretty good job on lighting on that 23andMe. So yeah, if anybody out there wants to sample, you know, check out 23andMe. I'm pretty proud of that one. And then the editing, it's just, you know, you have, you wind up, even with a 5-minute movie, you wind up with maybe, I don't know, 60 or 70 clips, and they have to be matched up with the soundtracks that you made separately.
Oh my goodness.
It's harder than it looks, folks, as they say.
Well, all right. So I have a couple silly questions for you then.
Yeah, please.
All right. Growing up, okay?
Yeah.
You know, you were younger, and I always looked at you as like the kid. You know what I mean? So
right.
Were you 24/7 silly at home? Did you drive your parents and Suzette crazy?
I think I've always been a goofball. I mean, I don't know. I just like to find the, I think I have a knack for like finding the funny stuff in situations and like wordplay and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'm just not a serious person, Jerry. I'm really immature and, I'm a goofball. And I'm goofy looking, so that kind of helps with the, you know,
oh,
these movies. So.
So now, your wife, okay, because I know
yeah.
she didn't want to really be on with us, but is she listening?
She is listening, yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear her?
Hi, sweetie.
Hello?
Yes, you had a question about Sue.
So how did you get her to come on board with this nonsense?
I don't know. I just, Well, you know, I did. I made a movie with my the first movie I ever made. I was with my two nieces. I think they were 7 and 5 at the time, and it came out really good. But I never put it on Facebook because it's basically they're fighting. They start fighting over a hairbrush, and they just beat the crap out of each other. I mean, at the end, I know it doesn't sound funny. But at the end, they're like all bloody and like missing teeth and stuff.
Oh,
and,
no.
And really, but I never put it on YouTube.
Right.
A little not too happy about children and violence.
No,
but
of
really,
course.
I think today it's probably my second favorite movie I ever did. So it came out really good. And then, I don't know, a few months later, I just said, you know, we were driving down the shore and I said, let's just, you know, I have an idea. Let's just wing it. And we made the first movie. And I don't know. It just, I don't know how I got her on board. She's a good sport.
Okay.
Listen, Jerry, she's been married to me. I've known her for, I met her in 1977 and we've been married 35 years. I mean, if she's put up with me all this time, all my nonsense, it really is nonstop nonsense. And so she's used to it, and she's really the best wife anybody could have, and she's a great sport about everything.
So, all right, let me ask you one more question about her. So did she just start making the faces on her own, or did you talk about maybe we should have you make faces? Tell me.
No, she makes those faces all the time. That's you know, it depends on what it is, but no, she's a natural. You know, that the one movie we made, The Letter, that came out last month. We kind of figured her facial expressions, because there's a thing in comedy where the person saying the funny thing, or the person saying the funny thing, you don't want the camera on the person saying the funny thing, camera on the reaction of the person hearing it. So I knew in that movie she was going to be, you know, her husband's reading that Dear John letter, and he doesn't even realize it's real. And I knew her expressions were going to be pretty important for that dumb little movie, and they were, and she was spot on, and she was great.
Perfect.
You know, and you know, we just goof around and we tried to keep it fun. And we don't have any training naturally, but you know, we just have, well, we must have some chemistry because we've been together for 45 years. So
amazing.
Yeah.
So we have a caller in queue. So why don't we
take
our first caller? Yes.
Who could this be?
Let's see. So you could do a movie on this, John. Hello, caller.
Hello, how are you guys? I first have to say, John, do you know who this is?
Yeah, this is like, what was that old, This Is Your Life? This?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man, Jerry, do you know Richard Schwartz?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, but anyway.
We went to grade school together.
Whoa.
I was John's years, a few years behind you. Yeah.
Whoa.
So I got to tell you guys. All right, is it coming back to you, Jerry?
Listen, all I know is you just made me really old. Wow,
right.
How are you, sweetheart?
I am well. How are you? So I got to tell everybody that John actually lied a few moments ago about his first movie being with his nieces. And it's a little known fact. All right, it's a little known fact, actually. Actually, there's no good reason anybody would know this, but John made his first movie with me and Suzette, and it was an 8mm, $6 million man homage. And what were we, John, like 7, 9?
Yeah, I guess we would have liked
and it was
fifth or sixth grade, however old you are then.
Yeah. And, you know, admittedly, it was brilliant, which means it was absolutely awful.
Oh, my goodness.
We tried to jump backwards off of ladders and then play it backwards to make it look like, you know, we had jumped up the ladder, which was at least kind of smart for kids.
Yeah, well, there was this one scene that where Richard's character, he's a $6 million man, he throws this, like, heavy stick, and then it lands on the ground, and then in the next frame, it's on my chest. It's like somehow it magically went on my chest, and then I fell backwards, but we neglected to edit out the part where it just flops on the ground, so, yeah, it was pretty sad.
Yeah, that was John's first film. So
that was
I
the
like
first one. Let's put that on the record here.
Yeah, it doesn't exist, I'm afraid. But I would pay a million dollars to find that Super 8 footage of that movie.
Oh my God, I would too. But you know, I like you, Jerry. I love watching John's movies when they come out. He and Sue, they're just, you know, they've all got a little piece of John or a lot of John in them, and we've been really good friends, John, since what, the second grade?
Since 1972. I mean, I don't even know how long ago that, what is that, 50 years ago?
I think we've been
friends since 1970 or 71. So over 50 years, this is my oldest friend. I love you dearly, Richard.
I love you too. And, you know, it's like, you know, never a fault, never a ripple in our relationship in all those years, even being hundreds of miles apart at times. And so I'm just lucky to have him as a friend. And when he messaged me about this tonight, I said, yeah, man, I'll be there. And Jerry, I didn't even know you had a radio show and that you hosted it and all this wonderful stuff. So I'm just sitting back and listening and enjoying. But any embarrassing questions anyone has about John, I can answer.
Well, do me a favor then, because I'm going to have a lot. Can you send me a friend request on Facebook, please?
I could, but I don't go on there.
Okay. Well, I'll get your number from John, because I will have some questions.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's
absolutely.
He's a Howard Hughes of Yardley, Pennsylvania. So.
Oh, my gosh. Richard, thank you, sweetheart. You just
thank
brought
you,
me
Richard.
Back to a time, a beautiful time in my life. Thank you. Oh, that
night,
was so
Richard.
Nice,
thank you.
John.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, John, we have another caller, honey. You're very popular tonight. Let's take our next caller.
Wow. People must love me.
They do.
Hi. This is John's niece and boyfriend. My name's China, and you know we're calling in. We're big fans
of.
Hey. Uncle Johnny, as I know him. But yeah, it's actually really sweet to kind of hear a little bit more about the behind the scenes, because I've definitely been watching, I think, your films. I remember the hairbrush one. I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, child violence sticks.
It was just like child-on-child violence. Well, I don't think that's
yeah.
as bad. But I mean, what?
Didn't you have like a warning, like no children? You had to like put like no children were harmed in the making of this film.
Exactly. I call my nieces the monkey turds, because they're just like, that's what our nickname is for our nieces, because they're one time I said they're more crazy than a barrel of monkey turds, and then we just started calling them monkey turds. So it said at the end, no monkey turds were harmed in the making of this film.
That's what it must have been. That's
hilarious. So China, I have to ask you a few questions, sweetie. I have to ask you something, because everyone, this is John's sister Suzette's daughter, my very good friend Suzette. So how is it having him as your uncle? He just said a little, but tell us a little more.
It's great. It's really funny. I think, I don't know if I've ever told you this, John.
right. I don't know.
I remember like when I was in grade school, I think people would be like, what do you want to do when you grew up? And it was like, I remember like having this internal conflict that was like, I think I want to be a mom, or like I could be like my Aunt Susie and Uncle Johnny and just like be these jet setting, like,
wow.
because you guys like you don't have kids, but you like spend a lot of time traveling, and like I remember being like so enamored by that, like, you know, as a kid, and even now, like, you guys, it's cool to see. You're always going to cool places, you know.
Wow, I don't think I've ever been called a jet setter before, but I like that. Yeah, I'm calling.
Like
I'm
that,
on
know?
The French Riviera right now, calling in from
Cannes.
But
that's why your service that was dropped. Nice. Okay.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that was very sweet, China. It was very nice.
Yeah, and like the other thing I was thinking, like calling in, was just like how you're also like an incredible storyteller. Like you just have an impeccable memory, which unfortunately has grossly escaped me and my mother. So like he's like kind of the like memory keeper of our family. So it's really
preserve my brain or something, because otherwise it'll all be lost, China.
I know, and that's like why I feel like every time I like when we spend time together, I try to ask you about stories, because you do have an incredible, you have an incredible memory, but you also just are an incredible storyteller. Like,
China, he got in touch with me and Suzette a few weeks ago to ask us if we remember that concert. He knew every detail, all the acts. I said, I kind of remember the concert. I said, I was blown away. So you're right, girl. Wow.
Yeah. It's incredible.
And Jerry, I said to Suzette, you know, you and Jerry were at concert. And she's like, Jerry who? Sorry. Jerry Petito.
I'm going to pull
Jerry
her
Petito?
Hair when I see her.
He's been asleep for 3 hours already, so.
All right. Well, China, thank you for calling in on Mom's behalf.
Of course.
Also.
Yes, China. You filled in beautifully. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Of course.
We have another caller, China. Thank you so much,
all right,
honey.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, China. Thanks.
Oh, she's so sweet.
She is sweet.
Oh, my goodness. So we have another caller, baby.
Oh, yeah?
Let's take it. Hello, caller.
Okay.
Hello, Jerry Petito, my wonderful friend. How are you?
I'm good, Ava.
You know who this
Holly.
Is, right?
Ava Holly.
So, John.
Say hi to John.
John, I have to first say hello. I'm a WBNN host also, and Jerry is a very good friend of mine. And we could tell you comedy stories on how we met and the things we've already been through in the last few years that we've known each other. Anyway, I got to watch the letter while I was holding in queue here, and I couldn't put the volume on because I was afraid I would lose the call because it's on the same device. So I'm watching it with subtitles, and here you are talking about the letter as I'm watching it, and I'm cracking up, especially the part where you're going to help and the bags feel heavy already. Boy, what a great comeback. Oh, they wanted to calibrate the wheels. The facial expression at the end, I mean, I got the comedy right away without even hearing it, and because I heard your voice on
the
show while I was holding in queue. Huh?
Well, that I'm so glad. You know, there's an objective. Thank you so much. We were just in Florida, and there was a hurricane. We did that last month, and we were in Jacksonville Beach, and we didn't have anything to do, and we filmed that in, like, you know, I don't know, a couple of mornings, and Sue's expression at the very end. If I could just bottle that up, then because you'll notice that, like,
I'm going to watch it again with the volume after we're done.
well,
it's funny because I heard your voice here while I was waiting, and then I went over, and when you were talking about it, I subscribed to your channel, by the way, and I went over and I started seeing what I could watch, and then the letter popped up, and I'm like, oh, let's watch that one, because you just said it was, you know, a month or so ago, and so that was funny, very funny, very good.
But Ava, listen,
you
got to watch the Italian one. You have to. You will crack up.
Oh, yeah, that sounds very funny.
You will crack up. So tell everyone
where your
show is on, Ava.
Actually, my show's on next week, Wednesday, the 21st. We're interviewing another WBNN host, Lifetime Achiever, and International Radio Hall of Famer, Huni Bakatun. So he's going to be my guest next week. So that's going to be fun. Thank you, Jerry. You guys are awesome. And look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Ava.
Thanks, Ava. Nice talking to you. Thanks for the kind words.
Now, see, you got an objective opinion.
Yes. Yeah, she thought it was funny just by reading the subtitle. So,
that's interesting. Okay. Oh, my goodness. So, what was your favorite subject in school?
Oh, gee, I was terrible in grade school. No, I really was bad in school. I guess history. I don't know. I really didn't like it.
Okay.
Yeah,
no,
social studies. What
was
social
like,
studies,
you know,
anyway?
Language arts or, you know, to make you do this silly stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I was terrible in music. Yeah, I really didn't. I was terrible in, like, everything. So it took me I started this, like, a year and a half ago, so it took me 57 and a half years to find something that I like to do. So I wasted a lot of time. So I have some making up to do.
You do.
Yeah.
How many have you made so far?
Oh, probably about 10 or so,
or
10. And there were a couple. We tried to film. See, you know, sometimes when you try too hard. So I did a lot of reading about, you know, writing stories, and there's supposed to be a story arc and a protagonist, and he has to change in the end and all this. So I wrote this script, and we shot it in Cabo San Lucas, and it was so – I couldn't use it. It was so boring. I couldn't stand looking at it because I overthought it, and the characters were boring. And I worked on that, the script on that, for a long time, and it was just – I had to just rip up the script because it was boring. So sometimes it's better for a little, you know, to be a little more spontaneous. And the funny thing about my movies is, like, the characters don't really change at the end. So like a typical Hollywood story, the character is supposed to, you know, have these flaws and fights and everything. And then at the end he changes, you know, but people don't change. That's what I think is funny about humanity. You know, hardly anybody ever, sorry, everybody out there. People don't change very often, and it's, you know, it's part of the human comedy, I think. So my characters generally don't turn into nice people at the end of the movie.
So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who does the actual filming when you two are doing your nonsense? Who's holding the camera, or do you have it set up, like, on a pod?
Yeah, Monsieur Tripod is doing the filming. Yeah, so it's like, you know, so it's really, it's, you know, some, there's technically, my movies are pretty bad. I mean, they're getting better, but it's really hard to do, you know, blocking or framing when, because you can only do it, like, so if there are two people in the shot, you know, one person has to go kind of see where the one person is, and then the other person, so, yeah, we just, like, you know, kind of set up the camera as best we can, and just hit the record button, and, you know, afterwards just see what we got. So, yeah, it's and you know, that's, we don't have any camera movement naturally in our movies because the camera's just always stationary. But I don't think it's necessary to have camera movement as long as you have a lot of good angles. So, yeah, it's just tripod, really.
So, another silly question, because I'm really curious about all this stuff. So when you have the tripod set up and you guys are doing a scene, do you stop it right after that scene and go check it out?
Yeah, the first thing we always, after we're, you know, after you say cut, we always, like, jump up, turn the camera off, and the first thing you do is watch the clip. So, yeah, we do that constantly. And, because, like I said, we don't have anybody else watching it, so it's the only way we know whether it's good or not. So, that's definitely, and even when, you know, when I do movies with my nieces, that's the, you know, as soon as you turn the camera off, they just like, let's see it. And then, you know, we play it back, and, it's I don't know what it is. You just want to see how it came out. So, yeah, we definitely do that.
Okay. So we have our fourth caller.
Okay.
Let's take our next caller. Hello, caller.
All right.
Hello?
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 Who's calling?
Hey, this is John from Pennsylvania.
Hey! What's going on, John? How are things in Downeytown?
Very good.
Good.
There's been a lot of conversation about the Rupert and Marcia characters, and they they really fucked us up. Can you share with us any inspiration for the characters and any sneak peeks into any future plans for Rupert and Marcia?
Well, I live in. Oh, thanks for calling in, by the way, John. John is my well, what are you? My nephew? I don't know. I really don't know.
Hi,
my
John.
Nephew-in-law. He's a great guy. A graduate of the Naval Academy. He's just a very, very genial guy. But anyway, so, you know, John, as you know, I live in Princeton, New Jersey, and I guess Rupert's kind of like the amalgamation of the kind of the older people here from Princeton. They're all kind of like, well, they're all kind of proper, and they're all kind of like nerdy, and, you know, they're into, you know, the New York Times and, you know, National Geographic. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's a kind of a, he's kind of a stereotype of a lot of the people that live here in Princeton. So, yeah, that's Rupert. And, well, Marcia is just, she's just kind of grouchy. And, you know, oh, and the other thing, Rupert is kind of like, he knows a lot of stuff, but still he has this naivete that, you know, makes him go on these quests. So even though he knows a lot and he's kind of smart, he's kind of dumb and naive on the other hand. So, which, you know, I think a lot of people in this town are, so. And, yeah, and Marcia's just, like, the level-headed, no-nonsense person. She's, like, you know, she's the foil for Rupert. You know, she sees things pretty clearly, and she sees that he's, you know, generally on a fool's errand. And, you know, she just kind of smirks because she knows he's not going to change, and she just kind of rolls with the punches. But she did try to leave him in the last one. Didn't quite work out.
I saw that. I was cracking up. Oh, my goodness. So
but
John,
funny. Then there's, yes, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You talk first, John.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
John Devaney. Did you have another question, John?
No. Go ahead.
Oh, anything in store? No, nothing just yet, but you know, we have two sets of recurring characters, Jerry. We have Rupert and Marcia, and then we have Chip and Margie. And
okay.
Chip and Margie were just in a movie that came out on Sunday, and Chip is like a ultimate bro, man child, and you know, Margie's, I guess, basically just kind of a long suffering. It's hard to understand why these couples are staying together. I guess just so I can keep making movies. I mean, there's no reason for these couples to stay together. But so yeah, we have two. I have to kind of think of maybe another set of recurring characters. But oh yeah, we do. We have another one, Aunt Hetty. Yes. Sue plays Aunt Hetty, good natured Southern lady. But anyway, No, you know, and really after a movie comes out, I kind of like to take a break for a few weeks. So I don't even want to think about the next one because one just came out on Sunday. So like I said, I rushed to get it out because I wanted to get it out before Christmas. So it's a Christmas story. Did you see it, Jerry, or not?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
So, all right. Listen,
mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to say this, and I mean this. I'm not just saying this. I would never just say this. You really are brilliant. Like, your nonsense is so ridiculous that it's awesome.
Well, I'm flattered, Jerry. That's very, very, very nice of you to say. Brilliant, I don't know. Jerry, I guess you're right. You know, I'm going to agree with you on that one.
There you go.
I'm freaking brilliant. I really am.
I love it.
That was very, very nice of you to say. I appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. Richard thought so. John, your friend John, now what don't you think? Is he still there? He might have. Okay. So, John, we want to thank you for calling in. We have another caller.
Another caller?
So let's,
I don't know any other people.
Let's take our next caller.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Hello?
All right. Trying to get these calls. Hold on. Make sure. All right, let me make sure this is right. So make sure it's clear the line. And then we're going to bring that caller back on. So go to the next caller right now that's been waiting at the bit to speak to this man.
Okay.
Let's go to it. All right.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Ricardo Richard. I was just calling just to support the show. I didn't get a chance to hear everything on here or whatever, but I actually almost forgot that you do a week after mine on Tuesday, so I just wanted to come in and just show my support. And it sounds like you sound so much better, so that's great.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. But wait, so now, all right, I am so happy you called in for my guest, and this is why, guys. So, Ricardo, this is John Astrup. He's a childhood friend of mine, okay?
Wow.
Yep.
Hello,
his sister,
how you doing?
Is still one of my closest friends. John is a few years younger than me and his sister, and John writes five-minute, silly, stupid, funny movies that him and his wife are in. And her facial expressions are to die for. Now, let me tell you who Ricardo Richard is. Ricardo writes documentaries, Bitter and Broken. And he's going to be writing one, I hope, called Heal People, Heal People. Ricardo lives in Trenton, New Jersey. He's a teacher. He's also a host here now on O&E, and he owns a piece of my heart, John. You guys would really hit it off. So, Ricardo, talk a little bit to John about what he's doing with his five-minute film.
Yeah, I would definitely love to hear that. The five-minute film sounds amazing. Is it for me or is it for him?
Yeah, I didn't understand whether it was for me or Ricardo.
No, I wanted Ricardo to talk to you about his what he thinks of you doing five-minute films because he does documentaries.
How long are your documentaries?
The episodes sometimes vary from 20 to 30 minutes. So her saying five-minute movies, I mean, that sounds very interesting.
Right.
And sounds amazing to be able to kind of, how do you decide, what's going to be in those 5 minutes? You get what I mean? Because, I mean, this is like, wow. Because I know for me or whatever, go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't mean to talk over you.
No, I laughed. You guys talk.
Oh, you laughed? Oh, my fault. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to know where did the 5 minutes, for the movies, where did that come from? And how do you know when you do the 5 minutes, how do you know that's enough? Because I definitely have sometimes a hard time trying to figure out, all right, how much I'm going to put in this, how much is too much, how much is too less. So for you to actually do 5 minutes, I think that's really interesting to have. It sounds like a short film, but I don't think I've ever actually watched a five-minute movie. So how do you come up with all of that?
Yeah, well, like I said, Ricardo, they're more like skits, so there's not a and I try to, I'm a fan. I think today the movies are way too long. I can't sit through a 2.5 hour romantic comedy, and it's and people like short, funny stuff, and I try to, pack as many laughs into it as I can. Usually I write and it kind of works out, if I write a page of dialogue is usually about a minute. So I'll usually write 7 or 8, 9 pages, and I'll just throw,
wow.
I just kind of brutal. I just throw out, so that would be 9 minutes, and I just throw stuff out that's not working. And so I try to write more than I think I'm going to need, and some stuff works, some stuff doesn't. And, I just like to have some. I think my shortest movie is 3 minutes and even under 4 minutes. So I have a couple that were under 4 minutes. But, it's just short and sweet. And sometimes my
friends of mine say, oh, well, I wish that was longer. So, but, and plus I have a job, so I can't, you know, we just, Sue and I do this on the weekend, and so, you know, we do it when we can, so they have to kind of be short. So, but yeah, it's basically, I kind of the mode I'm in. I have some ideas for feature films, but, you know, our budgets are zero. I mean, even if you wanted to do a half an hour film, you'd have to spend money. But I haven't spent any money on aside from the equipment. But yeah, we just our budget is zero. That's another reason why our films are 5 minutes. So
wow, well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Ricardo, you have to go to his John Astrab, Astrab YouTube channel. Okay. He'll give
yes.
you, mm-hmm. What is your YouTube channel, John, exactly?
It's John Astrab Films.
Okay. And you have to check out my favorite one. It's the Italian one.
And
I said in the beginning, you probably weren't on in the very beginning, you can't listen to them. You have to watch them because listening to them, it's not funny. You have to watch their expressions and his wife's expressions. You will crack up. And what he does, and it's insane nonsense.
Wow, I definitely got to check out. One last question before I leave. Like, where does the inspiration
yeah, of course.
Come from?
What did you say?
Where does the inspiration come from?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I just think, I've read a lot of stuff. I've read a lot of history and most of human history has just been horrible. I mean, horrible tragedy. I mean, if you study history, it's basically just a catalog of human suffering. And I just decided, the best thing I could do was just, ignore all that and do something funny because, if you look at the news or you look at, the stuff that you concentrate on is what makes you happy and sets your attitude. And so I just decided to be funny. So I don't know. And a lot of it comes from real life. I watch people, I don't laugh at people about things that they can't, their appearance or, but I'll laugh at people at the clothes they wear or the dumb things they do or whatever. So I watch people and I have a kind of inner dialogue going on. And it's not that I just make fun of people, but everybody is, human beings are just there. There's a lot of humor and in human beings. And so I, people are funny. And it's
wait,
all
you know what
comedy.
I want to say? Wait, I have something to say to both of you. You know what my two favorite shows, of course, are Seinfeld and Friends. And I'm thinking about your films, and you're like 5 minutes is like one of their, scenes.
Right.
And
their
facial expressions and their nonsense. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, like, I don't understand how they do it, like Big Bang Theory or whatever. Yeah, one of my films is just like exactly maybe one scene from that, and they come up with 26. Of course, they have a team of writers, but I'm a big Larry David fan, and Curb is just great, and and Larry David makes fun of a lot of types of people, and that's kind of what I do, so.
Love it.
Wow. Keep going.
John, tell everyone.
All right,
thanks,
Ricardo.
Nice talking to you. Ricardo,
yes,
tell
you
everyone
too.
When your show is on, sweetie.
My show, I believe, is the third, actually, top of the year. So I'm really, really excited. I have a lot, to talk about and everything. So I'm excited about my next show in January. And also, please look out for the final season of Hurt People, March. So I'm excited. A lot of good things coming on the top of the year. So thank you guys so much.
Congratulations.
And you're
going to
be live in my studio in Hamilton Radio as well
again.
Yes, I'll
be live in a couple
weeks.
I can't wait to hug you. I haven't seen you in like 2 years, I think.
Right.
Just the pandemic.
2.5 years, probably.
So I can't wait to give you a big hug. So
I love you.
Yes.
So, yeah, John.
I love you guys.
You guys.
Have a good
what
night.
What you two do is so awesome.
Right, good
thank
night,
Ricardo. Very cool. So, yeah, his
yeah,
people, her people is amazing. Yes. Can you hear me, John?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good. All right, so now listen. Tell everyone, like, do you have a website? Do you have any of that? Like, what information do you want to give out there?
Well, go to YouTube and look up John Astrab Films, and my channel should come up. And what's that? Oh, yes, John Astrab, JohnAstrab, as in boy, and then films. So John Astrab Films, just search that in YouTube, and my channel should come up. I have an Instagram. I've been very lax on social media. I do have an Instagram page, but I don't know what it is. But so that's very sad. Hold on one second. Let me find out what it is.
Sure.
I'm
go
getting
ahead.
My wife to find out what my Instagram.
That's
I think
great.
It is John Astrab. Well, see how slick I am there, Jerry. Hey, honey, what's my Instagram handle? So, well, we're working on that. It might take a few more minutes. But, just check me out. I am working on a website. I have to work on all that stuff. I've just been busy making movies. So it is John_Astrab_films. So,
cool.
You can check out my Instagram. I got to be more active on there. Sorry, guys.
Very cool. So we have our final caller in queue.
Okay.
So let's take our last caller. Hello, caller.
All right. I don't know what's going on with these callers tonight. Let's say I'm surprised with their electronic technicians. So I'm going to come over and go see Ty with some outstanding thoughts about this show. I love this show. All right, go ahead and do your thing, Jerry.
Okay. So, John, let's just talk for like two more minutes in case that caller can reconnect, and
right.
Then I will
I
bring on my producer.
I really
go
have
ahead.
To pee, Jerry.
You have to pee? This is hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm 60 years old, but I can hold it for two more minutes.
You're so funny.
Okay.
So, all right, so listen.
It's not that,
what
it's
I
not
wanna,
that funny, Jerry.
What I want to say is this. It's funny. Listen,
yeah.
Is your wife making her faces at you while we're talking?
No, she's reading a magazine.
Okay, so
she looks very bored right now.
She's bored? Oh, my gosh. So I love, 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 love her faces.
Yeah, she's the best. I told you she's the best straight man in the business.
So, John, what are your final, the listeners out there, because I want you to tell them something motivational. Because, listen, there are so many people out there in a rut, and I don't care how old they are. Give them some inspiration to do something that's going to excite them.
It's like a weird thing. Like, I never made a movie before, and you just kind of, you really have to just jump in. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, the first few movies we made, we didn't write scripts or anything. I shot them on like a little crappy, you know, $200 action cam. And, you know, honestly, the first half dozen movies, I was stupidly enough, even though it was just Sue and I was nervous. I felt stupid. You know, we did some acting like on street corners, and I felt embarrassed and stupid and self-conscious. But we just kind of like worked through it. And then after, you know, when you do, and Jerry, you probably, you know, how long have you been on the radio?
Since
100 years or something?
No,
oh,
since 2016.
Oh, okay. Well, when you first started, wasn't it like, you know, you didn't feel 100% comfortable, and you're self-conscious and. So I'm just, whatever it is, I mean, whatever you do, whatever you want to do and try to do, there's going to be like resistance, and there's going to be a point where you feel like you're just, it's stupid, I can't do this. And I, you know, you have to get past that point. And it took me, you know, 3 or 4 movies to where I really felt comfortable. I learned a lot of stuff, and, you know, they started looking better and they were funnier. But yeah, if you can, you know, you just have to jump. You just have to jump. That's all I can say. And you know, I found, and I'm telling you, I found, and I said this earlier in this interview, Jerry, took me, I don't know, it took me 58 years or 57 years to find something that I really love to do and that I think I'm pretty good at. So, you know, you people out there, you're going to find it. Just keep trying different stuff. And if you find something that you think you're good at, you just got to keep going, keep getting past that part where you think you're stupid or you think you're a fool or you know, people think you're not going to make it or, you're, you know, you're doing something wrong. So you just have to, there's that first stage you just have to get through. So you've got to push, you got to just push through no matter what.
So amazing. Amazing.
Oh, and
I love.
Yeah.
Wait,
and
I also like to say
go Eagles. That's my other, I don't know if you're international. For your international listener, for anybody in the United States, they already know the Philadelphia Eagles are the greatest football team of all time. But for international listeners, I would like them to follow the Philadelphia Eagles American football team. So that's how I'd like to close this interview, if that's okay.
Oh, my gosh, you're amazing. So, all right, you're not going anywhere. I'm bringing on, guys, our mother and father's favorite producer. It's Ngozi time. Our Hall of Famer, our life achiever. This guy rocks, our amazing, record-breaking producer, Brother O. Please come on.
Now, listen to that. Now, I see how she is. She's about to start her mess already. But first of all, I want to thank John for what he said and being encouraging. You know, Jerry talked about, you know, being a kid. And I think a lot of times we all are childlike when we're doing the things that we dream of. I remember as an only child coming up and looking in the mirror, and I would just look and see myself broadcasting at 5 years old, you know, looking at the great Walter Cronkite and David Susskind, Eric Severide. These, you know, you young folks don't know nothing about that, but I grew up in a time where media was king. You know, David Brinkley, you know, Peter Jennings, John Facenda, those great people. And I'm very, very proud of what goes on in the spirit of time, in the spirit of movement, that is broadcasting. And, you know, this young man who was interviewed tonight is really embodies the spirit of it. Have fun. You know, one thing I hate is a person who can't take constructive criticism or don't want to come to the mic. You know, that those things really get underneath my skin. And, you know, accept it, be better, and move on. And I think that's the best. And all of our hosts who are here have that power. For my intern, we only have one intern. We have actually two interns. For two interns, they just hired a young man by the name of Shangon Powerhill, who will be part of the legendary Merc City Hip Hop program. The outstanding Tiana Speaks, who said to WM, helped her speaking and coming out of, you know, a shell and just being great, you know, being able to say, you know, I can say what's on my mind, ask pertinent questions, and be a good journalist. And I think that Tiana Speaks is definitely working on that, and one day she will become a host. And then, you know, you look at all the people, especially this young lady by the name of Geraldine Petito, you know, my friend and fellow broadcaster and fellow lifetime achiever. I want to thank her for presenting me at Orneon. It meant a whole lot to me. Tomorrow night right here on the Storic Network, we have another outstanding person. I mean, this young lady is phenomenal. You know, she calls herself the queen of collaboration, and it's self-titled, but it's so much truth in it. This young lady garners great experiences through networking processes around the world. She believes in prayer. She believes in uplifting. She believes in making sure that the authors are heard around the world, man. And she's tireless. I don't think sometimes she gets maybe 4 hours sleep at night. And she does, that's surprising. But her name is Angela Thomas Smith. And the name of her show is Walking in Purpose, 9:30 Eastern Standard, right here at WNN. We have advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia with Pinterest and Instagram and Twitter at Ngozi _ Time, as well as OLMLA with Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight? Olay, day, lay.
www.dottingglosswithmy@gmail.com. For all the folks around the world, thank you so much. Without you, we're absolutely nothing. And then to our wonderful hosts, thank you for respecting the mic. And the ones who don't are no longer here. I am your mother and father's favorite producer. And, of course, now that Jerry would, you know, beat me with the rag, I am the 2022 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Lifetime Achiever in both disc jockeying and producing. My name is Ola Della Malay. We're going to say goodnight. Good luck to all the folks out there on Force Radio. Support us on a constant basis tonight. We go back to the wonderful, and I may add, look at this resume. For starters, the 2019 and 2022 WNN Dollar Network Stars Champion, the 2019 WNN Host of the Year with the Anna Waddell Award, the 2019 International Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting and Shredding, and finally, the 2021 International Radio Hall of Fame Lifetime Achiever, the Jersey Jewel, Jerry Petito.
Well, I want to thank you again, John, for honoring me with this incredible interview. Keep going, kid, man. I love it. I want to read the Jerry Petito Show poem to everyone.
Oh, no, don't do it yet, because we got some other news,
okay,
too. And okay, congratulations on your 66 all-time connection record tonight. 13 out of 14 records, man. Congratulations, Jerry Petito. I wanted to add that in because I went to shocker. Shocking all, y'all. Ha, 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 ha.
Okay, so John Astrab, thank you. We just broke a record. Find out the listenership after the show. Gosh, I'm hoping it's over 16 million. We shall see. Thank you, John, for being part of this. And thank you, Brother O, for announcing that. So here's my poem, guys. Imagine that I had 5 shows. I can't believe it was me they chose. First Hamilton Radio, then on PANJ. On Vinny's show, I met Rob Bell. I joined with them that day. Doc G started this, it's all because of you, asking me to come along, something I had to do. Brother O watched my shows and said, please come along. If you do, I promise, with me, you can't go wrong. Beverly Nation at the time, now WBNN Online, Talk Shoe Radio, Make Way. Once you get me started, I'll have so much to say. Brother O informed me my shows are flying high. Then on Damon Network, Damon Looks had reached the sky. I was even named the Jersey Jewel by Brother O. Damn, that's cool. My nickname on the other shows, Jerry the Smartass, because of my logos. Then I was picked up by a fifth one owned by Barb and Steve, Remember Then Radio. It was all oldies, I believe. I can't believe the call. Good news from me to you. An award out of Germany for my achievements. It's true. And this also, you won't believe, is true. Now a nominee for Hall of Fame, along with Brother O, who knew. In 2019 Hall of Fame, he was voted as DJ to win. To me, it was a no-brainer. Oladoli Ngozi's a shoo-in. 2 years later, 2021, voted as producer to win. Celebrating his enshrinement, without a doubt, he made it in. Then in December 2021, Lifetime Achievement Award. I'll be awarded, and it was done. International Hall of Famers forever enshrined will be Internet DJ for Brother O and radio producer, Internet radio host for me. The best part of the ceremony, both our children gave a speech on behalf of their parents, proud of all the souls we'd reach. For those who know me and those who don't, to keep me silent, you can't, you won't. My show will be to keep it real on how I see it and how I feel. To tell the truth and expose the lies, get out of the dark, let's open our eyes. If you want to get healthy or learn how to live, listen to me then, inspiration I give. If addiction's your struggle, no matter which one, I wrote the book on addiction, that battle I've won. I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass. It's the title of my book. Check it out, you won't regret the minute you take a look. A lot of info I sure do know, so tune in and learn stuff on the Jerry Petito Show. Thank you, everybody, and good night.